Before I start with the message, I have a little bit of a housekeeping matter. I'm fairly new to the congregation, and I'm not exactly sure how to turn off the midnight automatic alarm. So we'll all be fine if at midnight, which is in 16 minutes, we hold still.
I did it already.
Okay, good. Thank you. I wish you'd told me that before I said all that. Oh, let's pray. Distractions, Lord, distractions, so many. All about us. Help us, Lord. Help us. Help us, Lord, help us. Amen. I grew up in a fairly poor family on the south side of Elkhart, Indiana. My father quit school when he was in 10th grade. And my mother later quit when she was a senior in high school. Both circumstances were, for each of their lives, were such that it was difficult to continue. My dad's dad, my grandfather, died, early death, 42 years old. And my dad was one of nine children and the only male left at home. Now, in the 50s, there were these expectations that existed, call them whatever you will, but still expectations that he would help out with the family. So he quit school and worked and gave pretty much all the money to my grandmother Mann so that she could continue to keep things going at the Mann household there on the south side of Elkhart in the Osceola area. Well, when my father and mother got married, they lived with modest means and had three children, of which I was the middle child. And because my dad still felt obligated to help with his sisters that were being raised by my grandmother, we continued that sort of, not poverty, but rather meager way of living. So you can imagine my excitement when at 10 years old, I came down from our upstairs bedroom and looked under the tree and saw with my name on it a Schwinn 10-speed varsity bicycle. Wow, that was off the chart in the Mann family. We're talking not even close to what other gifts or other sorts of presents might look like. If you can love an inanimate object, I loved that bicycle. To the extent that I waxed that thing at least a half a dozen times every summer. Drove my parents crazy. You know, usually my brothers, they didn't take care of their stuff. I always took care of my stuff because I loved things like that bicycle. And I was so good at waxing between the spokes on the chrome rim that I had it down to a science. I could do it like no other person. The interesting thing about it was I was in awe, especially on that Christmas morning, to see that thing. It was an amazing thing. I got to tell you, there are more amazing things. I came to the first two services, and we sort of promoted them as family friendly, and I got to do the children's moment at both of those services, and we did a little thing with the nativity scene here, and this whole area was filled. We had candles lighted at the first service down here. We decided we better put them out for the second service for fear that a child might burn themselves or set this Charlie Brown Christmas tree on fire. It was pretty scary. But I was doing this nativity thing, and I know there's a couple of people here that saw it. They come back for the 11 o'clock service. And the kids just sort of went crazy trying to get at this nativity set to the extent that I thought they were all going to collapse on me, starting in the back, falling forward. The greatest thing about that whole scene was what I got to experience as I looked at their faces. The awe and the excitement, not about presents on Christmas morning. They're excited about that. We talked about that some. But just to see their faces as they got to look at this scene once again. I get caught up in life as an adult, so much so at times that I forget to step back and consider how awesome and wonderful God is. To the extent that I will look at a child and not even think about how amazing each child is, I'll just pass on by, not look seriously. Tonight I got a chance to look at about 75 or 80 children up front, probably all under the age of five. It was absolutely amazing to see the smiles on their faces, to hear the words that they had to say, to hear them all say together that the true meaning of Christmas is Jesus was an absolutely fantastic experience. Tonight, I need as much as anybody, and I believe you all do as well, a miracle. A miracle to occur. Even if it's a miracle in our own lives, as we stop for these few moments on Christmas Eve and consider that which is most important to all of us. That our God cares enough for us that he would send his son. That he would be born in a manger, a humble beginning, poor, somewhat of an outcast, you might say. And take the things of this world, the understandings of what it means to be powerful, important, and turn them on their head and say, please, please stop and consider that there is nothing on this earth that will satisfy us more than the simple gift of this child. I'm really glad you're here tonight. Not because we just want numbers here or more, but because God has a plan for each and every one of our lives. And I believe the plan might very well include God speaking to us right now, saying to us, no matter where we find ourselves in life, maybe we've lost a spouse, maybe we are struggling because a job's been lost, or we're at least worried because we've heard rumors. Maybe we have a person who is overseas in a place like Iraq or Afghanistan, someone we love desperately. And we need a miracle for that as well. Whatever the miracle is that you need, I believe this God will provide. That this God will come to you, come to all of us, and at the very least, remind us once again that our God refuses to live without us. That the gift of this child long ago is a gift even today, this day. That the miracle of Christmas is Christ being born in us again. Let's pray. We love you, Lord. We need you. We celebrate all that you've done and ask even for a miracle. Would you make yourself present in such a way, even now, that we would know with our hearts and with our minds that you are here? And would you even give us the courage to surrender and trust you? Help us, Lord. Thank you. Amen. Not only do I not know how to reset the alarm, but apparently I can't read my cues very well either. And I'm still not even sure what Tim wants of me. So, light candles, that's right. Herb, come on up. In case you don't know, this is Herb Wingard. He is our pastor emeritus, and I know there's a lot of visitors here tonight. And emeritus is just a fancy word for retired. So we're glad he's here. Yeah. We'll have the ushers come forward. Please stand. Christ is the light of the world. Without him, we would all live in darkness. Thanks be to God for our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.